We're holding the last line of Memches Amud Beis. We started talking about, so our Mishnah had said, Hanizokin Shaman Lahem Be'idis, that a person who a Nizik gets paid if the other person is going to pay him in land, if the Mazik is going to pay him in land, then he pays with Idis. So we said, now there's a Pasuk to that effect that says Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Kami Yashalim. So why is the Mishnah listing this among the things that the Chachamim set up in Pnei Tikkun HaOlam? So we started answering. Abaye had answered that our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. He holds that, so when we say Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Kami Yashalim, that he, the Mazik, has to pay with the best of his field or the best of his vineyard, the best of whose. What happens, for example, if the Nizik's best property, his Idis, is equal only to the Ziburis, to the worst of the Mazik? So Rabbi Shmuel would say, so Abaye explains, Rabbi Shmuel would say, Midar Isa, then all you have to do is pay your Ziburis. The Mazik would pay his Ziburis. It's only Ziburis, but it's Idis compared to what the Nizik has, and Rabbi Shmuel would say that's enough. So we were discussing what exactly when Rabbi Shmuel says in a Braisa, then he said, when he says, Meitav Sadeh Shel Nizik or Meitav Kami Shel Nizik, what does that mean exactly? First, we didn't realize yet that it meant this business about where the Mazik has Idis, that's where the Mazik has Ziburis, that's equal to the Nizik's Idis, etc. We thought what we meant is, for example, that if the other person, that if the one person's animal went and damaged a scrawny plot of land in the other one's field, then maybe he should have to pay with the best one. The Gemara says, how could that be? And if you're saying that it's a suffix, what kind of plot it was, then Hamotz Mechaver Levaraya. So we're holding the last line of Memches Amud Beis. El Omer, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, Hochav Maya Skinan. So Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov says, you know what we're talking about? This Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, nothing to do particularly with where one plot was eaten and we don't know which it was. It's true. Then we could only say that the value of a scrawny plot of vegetables or whatever it was that was growing over there would be what the Mazik is paying. And he could pay with metalplin or with karka. If he's going to be able to pay with karka, then it has to be with Idis. But Hochab Mayaskin, instead of Achab Yaakov, we're talking about over here, like we said before, we're going to show you Idis the Nizik Kiziburis the Mazik, where the Nizik's best field, his Idis, is only equivalent to the Ziburis of the Mazik. So in other words, the case is, Rashi explains, so the amount of the damage was assessed in Bastion. Then the guy says, I don't have money to pay. So then he's entitled to land, to an equivalent amount of land. So now if he wants to give him his own Ziburis, when he's going to say, look, this is only the equivalent of your Idis. So Rabbi Shmuel Sava, but the Nizik Shaiminan. So Rabbi Shmuel says it's true. Midar Raisa, we would go only according to the Nizik's field. So therefore, he would be entitled to give him this Ziburis. If he's going to give him, he has to give him the what's equivalent to the best of the Nizik. So he could give him. Even though by himself that's Ziburis, by the Mazik that's Ziburis, nevertheless that would be good enough, even if he has better quality fields himself. And then the point is, Abaye is saying on Mishnah that mentions the matter of Tikkun Olam would be according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the point is we would be saying that Rabbi Shmuel is saying Midrabanan, they said that he has to pay with Idis, with his own Idis, in order to discourage him, as we're going to say on Amud Beis, in order to discourage him from damaging other people's fields and figuring, look, I can easily get away with it. All I have to do is pay Ziburis. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that we evaluate according to the best of the Mazik. So in that case, in other words, the Mazik is always going to have to give. If he's going to be paying in land, then... He's going to have to pay with his own Idis. Therefore, according to the Mishnah, wouldn't work out according to him, because the Mishnah is saying that this is only a Takana Dirabon. Tosfos mentions the point over here. Now, why don't you say the other way around? Suppose that the Mazik's Idis is equivalent to the Nizik Ziburis. So then obviously we certainly don't make him go and buy better land in order to give it. Then we'll tell him, you give him your iddis, even though relative to the niziks, that's ziburis, and therefore there's nothing to talk about a machlokas in that case. Tosfos also mentions a point that we're going to learn in Baba Kama in a few months from now, Be'ez Hashem, that you have the question, when you're paying in metaltlin, do you also have to pay with the best of your metaltlin, or is it that either you pay money or you pay if you're going to, or either you pay money or you pay with the best of your field and you don't have any other alternative, or is it that we're going to learn over there that you have also the option, according to one opinion, and this is the halacha, of paying metaltlin even if they're not such good metaltlin, because the Gemara explains over there, any metaltlin are considered good because you could take them someplace else and sell them. So Rashi is implying over here, actually saying that when he wants to pay him with Kauka, because he doesn't have any money, then he can pay him. Then we have this discussion about paying him with Idis. And the Ruach Ronin will talk about that Rashi makes this, Chassam Sofer and so, and others explain that Rashi is coming to Bavor and Tosfos' question, why we say only this one case where the Mazik's worst field is equivalent to the Nizik's best. And why don't we say that according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be enough to give him his own Idis, and Rabbi Shmuel would say that he would have to pay with money. So Tosfos just leaves the question, but Rashi is trying to bavor in it by saying, look, if he had money, he wouldn't be paying with land in the first place. We have to be saying that he's talking about that he has no land, that he has no cash available, and therefore he wants to pay with land. Okay. So the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Shmuel. So why does Rabbi Shmuel say that we go according to the best field of the Nizik rather than the Mazik? So like this, he says, Nemra Sodalamata Venemra Sodalamaila. Because in the Posit, you have the word Soda twice. First, the Posit goes, Ki Yavir Ish Soda Ekerem. A person damages a field or a vineyard. Veshilachas Be'ira. He lets his animals loose. Ovir V'Sdeyacher. And they destroy in somebody else's field. Metav Sedehu. Metav Kami Yishalem. Then he has to pay with the best of his field and the best of his vineyard. So in the first half of the Posit, which is the Soda, obviously the one of the Nizik, because that's the one that got damaged. Therefore, so Rabbi Shmuel says, Mas Soda Hamur L'mayla de Nizik, just like that first Soda refers to the field of the Nizik, Af Soda Hamur L'mata de Nizik, the same way, the one in the continuation of the Pasuk is also the one that belongs to the Nizik. So therefore, he says that, when the Torah is saying, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kam Yishalem, it means you only have to pay with land, whatever is equivalent to the best land that the Nizik has. And if that happens, even though the Mazik has much better quality lands, we don't make him pay with those. He can pay with even his Ziburis if that's equivalent to the Nizik's Idis. What does Rabbi Akiva say in his Svara? He says, Meitav Sadehu Yishalem Dehech, become Yishalem. Yeah, but the Pasuk says, Meitav Sadehu Yishalem, best of his field, he should pay. Therefore, showing that Sadehu refers, Meitav Sadehu refers to the field of the one that's paying. So therefore, that would be the best field of the Mazik. So yes, even if the Mazik has, much better quality fields than the Nizik, then he's going to have to pay with those. So what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? It's true that the word Sadehu in the second half of the Pasuk is in the context of paying. But he says, fine, Ahani Gzeira Shava Vahani Kro. Okay, so what you have is the Gzeira Shava helps you in one way to teach us that the Nizik Sheminan and the Pasuk, the simple meaning of the Pasuk, also is effective to teach us. We work with both of them. Ahani Gzeira Shava L'chada Amaran. The Gzeira Shava tells us what we said, that it means Sadehu Shal Nizik. Ahani Kra, what does it mean? That we can also benefit from, and we can learn something from the simple meaning of the Pasuk, like Rabbi Akiva is saying. He says, De'i Isle, Mazik, Idis, Ziburis. Suppose the Mazik only has Idis and Ziburis. He doesn't have any Bainness. The Ziburis, the day Loi Shabi, Ki Idis, Nizik. What happens if it's Ziburis? It's worth less than the Idis of the Nizik. So in other words, up until now, we were assuming that the Mazik Ziburis is equal in quality to the Nizik's Idis. Now let's say though the nizak has slightly better iddis, so his falls in, so his would be the equivalent of beinanis. His would be the equivalent of beinanis for the nizak, except the mazik doesn't have any beinanis. He happens to only have iddis and ziburis. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying, without the pasuk, without the simple meaning of meitav sadeu yishalem, you would have thought that maybe he can get away with paying paying ziburis. In other words, Rashi says we would say the Torah is not going to put on him a chiyuv of paying with something that's better quality than the iddis of the nizik. If we only had the gzeira shalom. So we would say, let's say, for example, the nizik's iddis is worth $100 an acre. The ziburis of the mazik is worth $90 an acre. So you would have said, okay, well, 90 is close enough to 100. What are we going to go to his iddis, which is worth $200 an acre, and make him pay with that? That's far beyond what the iddis of the nizik is. So if we only had the gzeira shavu, we would say, yes, he could get away with that. Because we have the word meitav sadehu yishalem, which Rabbi Akiva is pointing out. The fact is, there you have the word sadeh in connection with the one who's paying it. So Rabbi Shmuel says, that fine, in that case, then it's true, we're going to take from his iddis, we're going to take from his $200 an acre field and pay the nezek, because the fact is the guy doesn't have anything else that's equivalent or greater in value than the nizek's iddis. So in short, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel would say, if he has something equal to the nizik, if he has something equal to the nizik's iddis, then we can take that from him, even though for himself it's ziburis. But if he doesn't have something that's equal to that, then we have to go to the next one that he has, even if that's worth far more, even if that is iddis. So Rabbi Shmuel would say that that's what we have from the gzeira shava as well as from the simple meaning of the pasuk. So that takes care of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. So again, Rabbi Shmuel is saying midaraisa, there can be a case where Mazik pays with ziburis, his own ziburis, that is, namely in this case, for example, where his ziburis is worth $100 an acre, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel is saying, therefore Rabbaya is saying, the Mishnah is telling us, nonetheless, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, eventually the Chachamim made a rule, mipnei tikkun olam, not to do that, but instead to make him pay out of $200 an acre field. Obviously, as we talked about yesterday, it means it's going to be a smaller amount of property. But the point is, if a person is going to receive land in payment, he would rather receive iddis, even with a smaller amount, because if he later on wants to resell it, he's more likely to find buyers for a plot of iddis than he is for a plot of ziburis, even though the plot of ziburis is larger. Okay, now let's continue in the braisa that we quoted yesterday. We said after Rabbi Shmuel had said that point about Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Karim, right? Rabbi Akiva had answered in the Braisa, we said, Rabbi Akiva, I'm a loybo akosim el ligris le nizokin min idis. The Pasuk is only coming to tell us that nizokin collect from idis. The kalvachomer la hektish, and Rabbi Akiva says a kalvachomer as far as hektish. Now, the first half of what Rabbi Akiva means, we can understand easily enough. Based on what we just said, it means Rabbi Akiva is saying, you, Rabbi Shmuel, are telling us that there are cases where Mazik can pay with his own ziburis. No, that's not how it is. He always has to pay with his own iddis. And the Pasuk is stressing that point by saying, mate of karma yishalim. Because Rabbi Akiva is not using that Zeta Shava. In fact, there are Rishonim who talk about that it may not be a full-fledged Zeta Shava. Otherwise, was Rabbi Akiva doing with it? It may just be one of those kinds of things that Rabbi Shmuel says is Gili Milsab Alma, and Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Anyway, so what does Rabbi Akiva mean, though, with the second half of his statement, V'kal v'choyma lahekdish? So what does he mean? So my kal v'choyma lahekdish. Ilema, do you mean a case, the Nagche Torah Didan, the Torah the Hekdish, where an ox belonging to a regular yid, gored and damaged, and an ox of Hekdish? And we're saying, therefore, that Hekdish is entitled to collect from Metav, from Idis. What do you mean? Can't be. On the contrary, show re'eu omer rachmanu v'lo show shel hekdesh. When the pasuk presents this concept and says when one person's shur damages or kills the other one, so it says uses the expression shur re'eu, the shur of his colleague, which implies v'lo show shel hekdesh. So it excludes a shur of hekdesh. As a matter of fact, if your ox goes and gores and kills an ox of hekdesh, then you'll in fact be potter. Because of that word re'eh. Tosfos discusses. So why do we have to say we're talking about a case of keren, a case where gore? Why don't we say instead we're talking about shein v'regel, that you have a plot of land where hekdesh is growing fruits or vegetables or grain or whatever, and your animal went and damaged that field, and there it doesn't say re'eh. So Tosfos says that. You still wouldn't be able to use the Kal v'Chomer, because on the other hand, once we establish that by one type of Nezek, the Hedyot has a stronger position, namely, since the Pasuk is saying Re'ehu, then Potter, in that case, that you could argue that even if you tried to make a Kal v'Chomer to Shein V'Rego, you'd be able to shlug it up. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss the possibility that maybe, in fact, all Mizakin, a person is potter by Hekdesh, not just Keren, but we learn from that to all the other ones. With the exception of, we know that if a person damages Truma of a Koyen, then he does have to pay the Koyen, but that's a separate case. That's basically he's stealing from somebody else. So we would say that Hekdesh, though, is different. Okay. Anyway, so it can't mean that Rabbi Akiva means that, because in a case of Keren of Hekdesh, and again, according to one possibility in Tosfos, maybe even with other kinds of Nezakin of Hekdesh, you're in fact potter. You're not paying anything at all, let alone Meitav. So we have to say Rabbi Akiva is talking about La'oimah Hareolai. So we're not talking about Nezakin, let's say. Let's say we're talking about La'oimah Hareolai Mona Labedika Bayis. A person says, I pledge a mona, 100 zuz, to Bedek HaBayis, where if he doesn't pay up, you're going to tell me Rabbi Akiva means that the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash can come and collect a mona's worth of land from your Idis. The question is, and we're saying the Kal v'Chomer is that if a Hedyot damages somebody else, he has to pay Idis. Kal v'Chomer that if he owes money to Hekdesh, he pays Idis. The Gemara says, why? Lo yehei ela baal choy. Why? At most, we should consider Hekdesh in this regard to be like a Baal Choyv, to be like a creditor, like a regular case where you lent somebody money or whatever. O Baal Choyv, Dine Bebeninus. And a Baal Choyv, as we said in the Mishnah, gets Beninus. Midar Daisa, he doesn't even get Beninus. Midar Daisa, as we're going to talk about, he gets only Ziburis. In any case, the point is, even after the point is, the Rashba explains, the Gemara's question is, even after the Takanas Chachamim, we're still saying he never gets upgraded to Idis. So why would Rabbi Akiva say that in the case of Hekdesh, he should get upgraded to Idis? Or Hekdesh should be upgraded to Idis. Why? V'chitema kasavar Rabbi Akiva b'al choyv shokol b'idis, k'nizokin. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with our Mishnah, and says that a regular Baal Choyv also collects from Idis. So the same way over here, Hekdesh should have the right. The same way over here, Hekdesh should have the right to do that. But the Kal v'Chomer doesn't work. Ikel mifrach. Still, though, if you tried to make a Kal v'Chomer and say Madach, a regular Baal Choyv gets Idis, if we said Rabbi Akiva holds that way, how much more so Hekdesh? But ikel mifrach, we could slug it up. Mal Baal Choyv shekin yafa kochem and nizakin, because a Baal Choyv has a stronger position when it comes to nizakin. Because we said if my ox gores your ox, then I owe you, and I owe you, and I even owe you meitav. I even owe you idis if the debt is going to be paid in land. Toma behektish shekin hura kochem and nizakin. How are you comparing to Hekdesh, whose position is weaker when it comes to nizakin? Because as we said, if my ox gores an ox of Hekdesh, then I'm potter. So then you could say, so in that case, so we don't have a Kal v'Chomer to say that just because if we were to say that a Baal Choyv gets Idis, therefore we should say Hekdesh should also get Idis, it doesn't follow. So the answer is, La'olam denagche Torah didan l'Torah dehekdesh. Let's go back to the original understanding. We are in fact talking about, to explain Rabbi Akiva, that we're talking about that an ox belonging to a regular Yid gored and damaged or killed an ox of Hekdesh. You're saying that we said in that case you're potter? No. Rabbi Akiva, Savala, Kreb Shimon, and Manasseh. Tanya, we learn in a braisa that Rav Shimon Manasseh holds different. He says, Rav Shimon Manasseh, on the contrary, he says, from Re'ehu, we're learning the other way around. If an ox belonging to Hektish gores an ox belonging to a Hedyot, to a regular Yid, potter, then Hektish would be potter from paying for that. And on the contrary, he says, if an ox of Hektish gores an ox, if an ox of a regular ox gores an ox of Hektish, ben tamu, ben mord, mashalim nezek sholim, then whether your ox is a tamu or mord, either way, he's paying nezek sholim. So in other words, he takes the word re'ehu and say the other one, says the other way around. That Re'ehu teaches us that only if the goring ox belong to Re'ehu are there payments, but not if the goring ox belong to Hektish. And furthermore, that it teaches us that only in the case of Re'ehu do we distinguish between Tam and Mord as far as paying Chatzi Nezik or Nezik Sholem. But when it comes to Hektish, then Rav Shimon Manasseh is saying there's no difference. You always pay the full amount. So then in that case, Rabbi Akiva, in this price, it could be following Rav Shimon Manasseh and saying, in that case, then that's what he means. If by a hedyot, in such a case, you would have to pay with Meitav, if you're paying with land, and with Idis, how much more so when you're paying Hektish? So we could understand Rabbi Akiva that way. But the Gemara says, if you're going to tell us that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, well, then who says, even to begin with, we were assuming all this time that Rabbi Akiva is arguing with Rabbi Shmuel about the case we had before where the mazik ziburis is equal in value to the nizik's idis. And we said before, Rabbi Shmuel will allow the mazik to pay with his own ziburis, and Rabbi Akiva is going to require him to pay with his own idis. So how do we know that they're arguing on that point? Maybe they both agree that we go according to the nizik. So therefore, they would both agree in this scenario, the mazik could pay with his ziburis. Maybe the machlokas is only on Rav Shimon Manasseh and the Chachamim's point. So Rav Akiva will say that the person who damages Hektish is chayev, and therefore you can learn from that a kavachomer about Idis. Rabbi Shmuel sabar like Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shmuel would hold like the Chachamim who say you're potter if you damage Hektish. And therefore he holds that you're potter when you're paying for Hektish, so he doesn't have any kavachomer over there. So instead he learns about he doesn't hold of that kavachomer, but they would both agree that you go according to the idis of the nizik and not the mazik. So maybe that's why. Why do we have to assume that Rabbi Akiva is also arguing on the question of whether we go according to idis the mazik? So the answer is in Cain, my loy bar kosu. Yeah, but in that case, what would Rabbi Akiva mean with his expression loy bar kosu, implying the posik is not coming to tell us this that you're saying about Edis to Nizek, rather it's coming to tell us something else. So that means that Rabbi Akiva has to be arguing with the din that Rabbi Shmuel said. And also, what would Rabbi Akiva mean when he says kavachoy malahekdish? What would be if he holds that you're being mako on the mazik and allowing him to collect and allowing him to pay rather with his own ziburis because it happens to be equal in value to the nizik's idis? Then what's the words kavachoy malahekdish? Where does that come in over here? What kind of kavachoymer? Or it's a kula already. So what are you saying? Kavachoymer that will also mako when it comes to hektish? Toisvis explains the second question a little bit differently. The question is, what do you mean a kavachomer lahekdish? He's not learning from a kavachomer, he's learning from the word re'ehu. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, I agree what you're saying. It does say by Hektish the word Re'ehu, but I'm learning that Re'ehu means you're pattering him completely. So Rabbi Akiva would say, okay, I learned the word Re'ehu to say he's Chayev, but ultimately he wouldn't be learning from a Kavachomer. He'd be learning from how we understand the word Re'ehu. And Tosfos brings another explanation that also the question is, my kavachoyim lahekdish. If you're telling me that both, if you were to tell me that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree, you go according to Idis and Nizim, meaning, in other words, you would say that you would say that that you look at what's the best quality land that the Nizik has, and you go according to that. Suppose that Hektish is the Nizik. How do you know? You're saying right now, as far as the lands that we know that Hektish owns right now, the best they own is something that's Ziburis. How do we know? There's not someplace else in the world where they own land that is actually Idis. After all, somebody at the other end of the world could have donated something to Hektish, and then we, the Gizborim in Eretz Yisrael, have no way of knowing. So obviously that would show that we have to go according to the Mazik, where his properties are here, and we know what what's available. Anyway, so we can't say that Rabbi Akiva holds that way. So it has to be that Rabbi Akiva actually is arguing with Rabbi Shmuel on this point of Idis de Mazik and Idis de Nizik. You can't just say that he's arguing on the point of whether you have to pay Hektish or not, because then the wording of the Braisa doesn't really fit. And furthermore, Va'omer of Ashi, Tanya Behedya. In fact, Rav Ashi says we have a clear braisa that says that Rav Akiva is arguing on that point. When it says, Mate of Sedeu, Mate of Kaim Yishalim, another braisa says very clearly, Mate of Sedeu Shal Nizik, or Mate of Kaim Shal Nizik, Dirbe Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Akiva, Mate of Sedeu Shal Mazik, or Mate of Kaim Shal Mazik. So we see clearly, it's not just a matter of Rav Akiva holding like Rav Shimon and Manasseh and talking about what you do in the case where the damage involves Hektish. It has to be that that he's actually arguing on this point. Whose Idis do we consider? Do we take into consideration when we're saying that a Mazik pays an Idis, that Rabbi Shmuel is holding according to the Nizik and Rabbi Akiva is holding according to the Mazik? So therefore, it's not that we're creating a machloikas. It's not like we're being doichet to create a machloikas where there wasn't one. We see clearly from that braisa that there is in fact such a machloikas. But so far, that would require us to say that our Mishnah, again, is going only according to Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't work. According to Rabbi Akiva, there's no reason to list Hanizok and Shaman Lahan Be'idis among things that are Dirabbanon, because the fact is it is Daraisa based on that Pasuk and based on Rabbi Akiva's understanding. Okay, the Gemara continues, Ravina Omar. So Ravina gives a different answer than Abaya. Actually, we could, after all, say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, and that's preferable because, in general, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel. Here it is also. We do go according to Mate of Sadeo and Mate of Karmish on Mazik. So, therefore, so we would rather be able to say that the Mishnah works according to Rabbi Akiva. He says, not a matter of Takonas Chachamim, it's a matter of Midaraisa that we go according to the Mazik's field. Our Mishnah, within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, would be following Rabbi Shimon's opinion, Rabbi Shimon having been one of the Talmudim of Rabbi Akiva. So he said, when he says, what he means is not that it's a takana of the Chachamim, but in other words, the reason why the Torah itself says that is because of Tikkun Olam. So usually when we say something is Mepnei Tikkun Olam, we mean it's a takana of the Chachamim, but here was saying that Rabbi Akiva, he was saying that Rabbi Shimon is explaining that the Torah itself is telling us a concept of Tikkun Olam by saying that the Mazik pays his bet with his best land. So Rabbi Shimon, the Dorish Taima Dekra, Rabbi Shimon in general holds that we darshin the reason behind a mitzvah in the Torah, and we use that even to derive details of the din. Rashi explains the classic case where they argue about that is in Bava Metzia. You have the Torah tells us when you're taking security for a loan, you're not allowed to take an almana's clothing. Now, why not? So Rabbi Shimon says the reason is because we're talking about where the almana is poor, and we know the Torah tells us that if you take a mashkin from somebody, then you have to return it to him every day or every night, depending whether it's something that's usually used by day or by night. So what's going to happen? Rabbi Shimon says, then the Torah is concerned for her reputation. If every day you're coming and picking up the mashkin, and every day you're dropping it off, and every night you're dropping it off, or vice versa, after a while, tongues are going to start wagging, and people are going to think that something improper is going on with you. So to avoid that, to save her dignity, the Torah says, Loisach al beggar almana. But Rabbi Shimon says, that being the case, that would mean this din does not apply when the almana is rich, and you don't have to return her the thing every day because she doesn't need it. Whereas the Chachamim disagree and say that the din is across the board. So Rav Shimon, we say, do we say Dorish Taima Dekra? He'll look for the reasons behind the mitzvah and then use that to derive details of the mitzvah. Another example Tosfos brings is, for example, we say that a king, a Jewish king, is not allowed to have more than a certain number of wives. So Rav Shimon says over there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that if they're all tzidkonius and they're not going to turn away his heart from Hashem, then he is allowed to have multiple wives because then there's no concern about that. But since the Torah's only concern is lo yosu lebavo, then in that case this wouldn't apply. And again, the Chum disagree and say that the din is across the board. Anyway, Tosfos points out the fact is where there's no nafkamina in halacha, where then the Chachamim will agree darshin and time of the Kura. Sure, they have no problem trying to find reasons behind mitzvahs. They're just saying we can't do like you're saying, Reb Shimon, and say that we should darshin and time of the Kura, even to say when the halacha applies and when it doesn't apply. They say we can't do that. Anyway, so Reb Shimon is saying, "Ma tam, Palmer." Reb Shimon is telling us, "Why is it ma tam and nizokin shaman land idis? Why is it that nizokin get idis is mipnei tikkun olam? The Torah itself is putting in something mipnei tikkun olam. So unlike most of the other things in our Mishnah, which are takonis of the Chachamim, here this is actually a din daraisa." And Reb Shimon is just saying, why did the Torah give us this din daraisa? The reason is because of Tikkun Olam. D'tanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa, showing that Reb Shimon is going to explain that the reason behind this concept of Meitav is Mepnei Tikkun Olam. The braisa says, Omer Reb Shimon, Mepnei Ma Omer Anizokin Shaman Mahen Be'edis. Why is it that the Torah says that? As far as the thing with the king and the wives, actually, I said it a little wrongly. Reb Shimon says, on the contrary, even if it's only one wife who Mesiras Libra is going to cause him to turn away from Hashem, then he wouldn't be allowed to marry. Anyway, the point is, again, we see Darshin and Taima Dekra. But Reb Shimon is saying, why did the Chachamim say that Nizokin get Idis if they're going to be paid in land? Because in order to forestall people who would steal land or people who chamson. And the difference is a gazlan steals the field outright. A chamson, the Gemara explains in other places, will pay money for it, but it'll still extort you to sell it to him. So the Torah wants to forestall such people. Kadesh Yoma Odom, a person should think to himself, Lomani goes over Lomani Chomis. Why should I steal and why should I be chomis? Why should I extort? Lamocha based in Yodin and Chosev and Noten Sodan Ashali. Very soon, the guy is going to go to Bastin and Bastin is going to find me guilty and they're going to go into my property and take away my nicest field. The same kind of mashkos of a Torah, mate of Sedeo, mate of Kami Shalad, basing themselves on what it says in the Torah that you have to pay with your best field. So I don't want that. I don't want to lose my best field. And therefore, the Torah says when we say Lefich Omru, when we say they said, really means the Torah says. And in fact, there was such a gears of Lefich Omra Torah. Therefore, that Nizokin Shaman Lahem Beidis, that Nizokin get paid in Edis. So that way, it helps discourage people from trying to steal or otherwise take over fields illegally. The Ramban actually points out that a chamson doesn't really belong in this braisa. What do you mean? Where's the concern about paying from Meitav? He already did pay at the time he bought the field. He paid. It's fair market value. All he did is he extorted and forced the landowner to sell to him. So why is he paying now? So there's an answer. Let's say, for example, you could have a case even involving a chamson where the field or whatever it is that he stole went up in value, and then he broke it. Where the din is that then he has to pay the higher value. So then we would say that because he took it illegally and the other guy wasn't miyayish yet. So therefore, that would be a case where he pays from Meitav even though he paid previously. So we see that Reb Shimon is holding that the reason behind the Torah's saying that a nizik gets meitav is because of this kind of situation. And for that reason also, Reb Shimon would be saying that, again, that's why, that precisely for that reason, Reb Shimon is saying, because of that, we go according to the Mazik's field. Had it not been for that, the Chachamim, who don't hold of that consideration, they would say, well, therefore, we don't need to. We could instead, well, they could hold like Rabbi Akiva and say that you go according to the Mazik, but they could also be holding like, they could also be holding like Rabbi Shmuel, who say you go according to the Nizik's best fields, and therefore it's not, therefore you're not necessarily, therefore the Torah is not necessarily doing something to discourage this person from doing this thing in the future. Okay, the Braisa continues, Rav Shimon continues, why did the Chachamim say that a Baal Choyv collects from Beinonis? Again, there's a Gersa mitnei Ma Omra Torah, and then there's a question on that, so what do you mean? The Torah doesn't say it. We said before that a Baal Choyv gets from Ziburis Midaraisa. And the answer is sometimes the word Omra Torah refers to a takana of the Chacham. Anyway, why do we say Baal Choyv Bebeinonis? And the question is, why not Ziburis? Why not Idis? And the reason is Kadosh La Yira Adam Sodana Lachaveri Sodana Vidirana. A person shouldn't see that the other person has a nice field or a nice house. The Yoma, and he's going to think to himself, Ekpoitz Bel Venu. Let me go ahead and lend him money. Kadeshak Benu Bachoyvi. That way later on I can collect. That way later on I can collect that nice field or that nice house for my debt. And that would be the case if Baal Choyv were to get Idis, Lefichach Amru, Baal Choyv Beinonis. Therefore, they said that a Baal Choyv gets Beinonis, and therefore he's not going to be so incentivized to try to lend to do predatory lending like that in order to get, because it's just Beinonis. It's not really worth his time to go and do predatory lending like that. So the Gemara asks, Elamayati, Yehebe Ziburis. Well, by that logic, why are we telling him Beinonis? In that case, he should get only Ziburis. And for sure, he's not going to go and try Dafka to lend money for the purpose of eventually taking that over. And the answer is, then you have the opposite problem. You can't have to Noel Delis with no living. In that case, you're going to lock the door in front of people who want to borrow money. Nobody's going to want to lend money because they're going to say, if all I get is Ziburis, there may be a very likely case where all I collect is Ziburis, then I don't want to bother lending you money in the first place. We talked about yesterday, Tosfa says that when the person dies, when the loiva dies, and the malva is collecting from the Yisoimim, and we said in the Mishnah, then he only collects from Ziburis. Fine, that's different. The person, when he lends money, doesn't necessarily take into consideration the fact that the other guy is going to die so soon anyway, and that he's going to have to deal with Yisoimim. So therefore, it's not going to discourage him from lending money by the fact that he knows there might be that chance that they might have to deal with Yisoimim and collect only Ziburis. But at least we want to have that when he's with the person himself that he dealt with, he should be able to collect Beinonis. Okay. Then the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Ksubas Isha Ziburis. So next, Ksubas Isha, a woman collects a Ksuba from Ziburis, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, like we said in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer Beinonis. Again, like we said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says she collects from Beinonis. And Omer Rabbi Shimon, and again, Rabbi Shimon comes in with his Taima de Kura. Okay, in this case, it's not really Kura, because in this case, it's after Konas Chachamim, but still, Rabbi Shimon is explaining, Mitnei Ma Omer Ksibas Isha Beziburis. Why did the Chachamim say that a woman collects a Ksuba only from Ziburis? And this is by default, by the way. We learned in Ksubas all kinds of cases where you can have, to begin with, before they got married, he designated a particular field of Beinonis or of Idis that she's going to be able to collect from that, or he designated certain metautlin for her to be able to collect from, or whatever. Here we're talking about by default if no such arrangements were made. So why, says Reb Shimon, because even more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. So therefore, it's not going to discourage them from getting married, knowing that they may be in position to get only Ziburis. So we don't need to say that they should get Beinonis or Idis in order to give them an incentive to get married. They have an incentive. They want to get married anyway. Dabar Acher, and Reb Shimon continues, there's another reason. Another reason is because, after all, a woman can be divorced whether she agrees to it or not. Until Chedem Jabenu Gershem, a man was allowed to divorce his wife against her will. Whereas the husband, when he divorces her, it has to be with his ratzin. So that's another reason to say, therefore, that she gets only Ziburis. So the Gemara says, my Dabar Acher. What is that? First of all, what do we need that Dabar Acher for? And how does that explain anything? So Rashi explains that. So Rashi explains that the Gemara is the Gemara wants to explain that the Braiser is not really giving us a different reason why the Ksuba comes from Ziburis. The Braiser, by the way, want to mention what is mentioning a separate point. By the way, while we're talking about the Ksuba. And while we're talking about the Ksuba, we have to mention another point in that regard, which is relevant over here, but not that it directly explains why she collects from Ziburis. On the other hand, Tosfos says that that the Gemara is going to give us a second reason why we should collect only from why should she collect only from Ziburis. So Vachite, you might say, ki heichi demapik lo'yu, the same way as when a husband divorces his wife, the Chachamim arranged that she should get a ksuba from him. We talked about yesterday that maybe in certain cases, according to the mayor anyway, a ksuba is daraisa, but in many other cases, only derabanan. So you would argue, ki nafke'ihi, what happens if she's the one provoking things to cause the divorce? So what happens, for example, if she's starting fights with her husband because she wants out and she wants to get divorced? You would think nami liskin el rabbanon ksuba mina. Maybe the chachamim should set up in that case that she should be paying him a ksuba amount because she's the one who initiated things to cause the breakdown of their marriage. So therefore, no, Toshma, therefore, the Gemara, the Braisa is continuing, Isha Yotza L'Ritzonim Shalai L'Ritzonah, no, because since a woman could be divorced against her will, therefore the Chachamim had to set up the concept of a Ksuba, so that Shalai Tehe Kala Be'en of Lohitziah, so it shouldn't be that easy for him to divorce her. So if he has to pay a certain amount, if he has to pay a large amount, then that'll hold him back from divorcing her so precipitously. But since the husband can divorce against only with his will, even if she's starting the fights, the fact is, after the mashi lobigita, he could always delay giving her a get. So therefore, if he gives her a get now, it's l'ritzonei, and therefore the chachamim are not going to set up a point that she pays him a ksuba in that case. So again, according to Rashi, this point of the davar achel isha yotze l'ritzonah is not meant to explain why a wife collects her ksuba from Ziburis, but rather pointing out a separate point. By the way, once we're talking about a ksuba, why is it that in a case like that you don't have a ksuba from the wife to the husband? And the answer is because of that, because he could be megadish only l'ritzonah, and so whatever it is that he decides to divorce her, it's l'ritzonah, and that's that. Tosfos again understands differently that it means that you would think, okay, on the other hand, it's true that Yosef Masha Ish Roitzel Lisa. On the other hand, don't we see that the fact is that the Chachamim did not that maybe it's more that the Chachamim want China, as the Gemara is going to discuss now, that we want her to have some resources before she gets married. So maybe the real reason has nothing to do with Yosef Masha Ish Roitzel Lisa or Isha Roitzel Linase. So maybe we would say, in fact, that the main reason is because of China, is why she should collect it all. And therefore, mentioning the second point, that he can divorce her against his will, and we see that even in that case, there's no ksuba that she pays him. So you see from that, therefore, that that helps uphold the reason of why she's collecting only from Ziburis. Okay. So let's discuss that point further. We said ksubas isha b'ziburis. So Amam Azutur Beder of Nachman lo yamaran elami yasmin. Now he says this is only when she's collecting her ksuba from the yasomim. So either her husband died or she was divorced, and then before she had to collect the chance to collect the ksuba, he died. Then, and she's collecting from the yasomim, then she gets only from ziburis. Avo binedi day, but says Mazutra, if she's collecting from the husband himself, but beninus, then she collects from beninus, and not from ziburis. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that basically Mazutra would hold that the ksuba is daraisa, so midaraisa ought to have been idis. But again, the Chachamim don't want to give her an incentive to try to provoke her husband into getting divorced. And then divorcing her so that she can collect his idis. So therefore, the Chachamim downgraded it to bainus. So So he says, but ordinarily she would get from bainness. But the Gemara says, miyasmi my iria. Why do you need, in that case, why does the Mishnah need to mention ksubas isha? I mean, miyasmi my iria ksubas isha. I feel called milinami. The same is true with anything else you're collecting from Yisraimim. Dekotnan, dehotnan, ein nefroim, minichsi Yisraimim, element is Ziboris. We said in the Mishnah that when you're collecting from nichsi Yisraimim, it's always going to be from Ziboris. So a ksuba is nothing special in that regard. So according to Marzutra, why would the Mishnah be singling out of Ksuba? El alav minei. So wouldn't it mean, therefore, we have to be talking about that the Mishnah is saying she's collecting from him, not from the Yisomim, and nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that according to the Chachamim, she gets only Ziboris. The answer is la'olam miyasmi. No, because you could say that it means specifically from Yisomim, like Marzutra says, uksubas isha, it's derichalei. On the contrary, the chiddush would be that even a ksubas isha collects only from ziburis. In that case, where she's collecting from Yisraelim. And the point of the Mishnah having to tell us that, sakhdat chamina mishum china akilu rabbanon gabah, you would think, after all, because of china, maybe the chachamim should be makel and allow her to collect from something better than ziburis. So china, we've talked about before in our Masechta, and we've learned about it in ksubas as well, and in other places, there's a few different explanations what china means. Rashi says it means that you want men to be attractive to women, so they should want to marry them. So in other words, if we would think, because of that, we don't want that a woman should know she's only going to get Ziburis, then she may figure, why should I bother getting married if all I'm going to end up collecting my ksuba from is Ziburis? So Mishum Chino, we would think that the Chachamim would upgrade her to Bainness or Idis, and we're saying that not. Tosfos here and in other places explains that that china is brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, that the other way around, that china means, on the contrary, you want to make her more attractive to potential husbands, that she should have some assets. When she has some assets, then people will be more likely to be willing to marry her. So therefore, again, you would think that therefore we don't want to have, so she's going to have married the first time and collected only Ziburis, and then later on, other people are not going to be so interested in marrying her. So therefore, maybe Mishum China, we should want to have that she should be able to have Beninus or Idis, and we're saying not so. And then a third explanation, the Aruch gives a third explanation of China, which we've also talked about before, that it means because she knows and she's in a position to get Idis or Beninus, then therefore she's going to serve her husband much more loyally in order to the Timsachei Mefanav, in order that she should have a nice, happy marriage. And we're saying that the Chachamim didn't take that into consideration, and still we're saying, Kamash Malan, that still the Chachamim still was saying that even in that case, you're collecting from Yisraimim, we still, the rights of the Yisraimim override all of that. Override that concern of China, and therefore she collects only from Ziburis. But Marzutra is saying, other than that, yes, there is the consideration of China, and therefore she should be able to collect from Beinus. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabba Toshma. So come, let's prove from a Braisa. We had these words in our Mishnah, but Rameyo Oymik Subas Isha Beinus. Rameyo is saying that a woman's ksuba is collected from Beinus. So we had this in the Mishnah, we had this in the Braisa earlier on the Omud as well. So you have to ask, who is the Mishnah or the Braisa talking about that Rameyo is saying she collects from Beinus? Ilema Miyasmi. Is it that we're talking to she's collecting from Yisraimim? Less that a mayor had not any frame in a chassi Yisraimim element as Ziboris. Would a mayor not agree with what it says in our Mishnah that from Nichsi Yisraimim collect only from Ziboris? Fine, of course he's a Tana. He could argue with that, but we don't find anywhere where he does that. So we shouldn't assume without any kind of proof that he actually means that when you're collecting from Yisraimim, you should be collecting from Beninus. So it must be we're talking about, the mayor is talking about she's collecting from him himself. That shows, therefore, that the Chachamim would disagree with him and say, even in that case, collecting from him, she only gets Ziburis. So now, not like Mazutra, who says that even according to the Chachamim, she would get Beninus in that case. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. La'olam miyasmi. You could say Rav Meir is talking about where she's collecting from Yisraimim. And again, v'shayni ksubas isha, mishum china. Again, because of the matter of china that we said before, then Rav Meir is going to say that in that case, usually he would agree that from Yisraimim you collect only from Ziboris. But in this particular case, mishum china, then we should upgrade her to Beinus. And so the mayor would say in that case she says she gets bainanis, and the chachamim would say that even then she still gets only ziboris. But we could be talking about, Reb Meir is talking about where she's collecting from Yisomim, maybe where she's collecting from him himself, then Reb Meir would agree that she only gets Ziboris. Reb Meir would say that she always gets Bainus. If she's collecting from him, Reb Meir would say for sure she gets Bainus. And if she's collecting from And the Chachamim would disagree and say that she gets from Ziboris and from Yisoimim as well, we would say, Reb Meir would say she still collects from Bainness, it's Yisoimim, but Mishum Chino, we want her to get something good, and therefore we allow her to get Bainness. And again, the Chachamim would say, look, you're collecting from Yisoimim, and it's Tzubas Isha, therefore it's only Ziboris. So still no proof against Mazutra. So Omar Abaya Toshmas, Abaya says, come, let's bring a proof from our Mishnah. Hanizokin shaman lahan beidus. We said nizokin get paid off in idus. So while choy bebeinus oksubas isha beziboris. So again, we have to ask miman from whom are we talking about that we're collecting in each of these cases? Ilema miyasmi. Do we mean that we're collecting either each of them is collecting from yisoyim? Again, doesn't work. My iri oksubas isha. Then why mention that it's only oksubas isha gets ziboris? After the kol haninami. All of them get only from ziboris because later on it says in the Mishnah that you collect from yisoyim only from ziboris. So obviously we're talking about you're collecting from him himself, from the husband himself, and therefore we see that Yiksubas Isha collects only from Ziburis. So not like Mavzutra is saying that the Ziburis is only when she's collecting from Yisomim and otherwise she gets banned. The Mishnah seems to be clearly implying not like that. So the Gemara, this is the Gemara answers, Amar Rab Achba Yaakov, Hoch of Mayaskinen, what we're talking about over here is the father is an orev for his son's nizikin. Now you have like this. There's a concept we know that you have an orev is so Reuven is lending Shimon money and Levi says I'll be the orev, I'll be the guarantor. If Shimon can't pay back, then I'll pay back. The din is over there that and the Gemara mentions this in several places. I think we had this earlier in the Masechta as well. That the Malva still has to go to Shimon first. He can't go to Levi first and say pay. He has to first go to Shimon, and only if Shimon can't pay, then he can go to Levi. That's a regular orev. Then you have what's called an orev kablon. Which is an Orev Kablon, you actually have Machlokas Rishonim, what exactly it takes for a person to be an Orev Kablon. Rashi over here explains that it means that he actually took the money from, so it means that Levi took the money from Reuven and brought it to Shimon. So that would be called an Orev Kablon, and therefore different dinim would apply to him. And an Orev Kablon, you can go and collect from him first. And the Atosfus discusses that. Other Rishonim discuss that, and say that Rashi explains over here by Ksuba since there's no money changing hands yet, it means that the Orev Kablon is the husband had designated Srori, had designated Metalplin or whatever to pay off the Ksuba, and it was given to this Orev, and then the Orev is holding on to them. So then. Or the other way around, he gives them to the wife, and she in turn gives them to the Orev. So Rashi would say that's an Orev Kablon. Tosfos discusses that there's a Gemara in Baba Basra where it talks about all the dinim of Orev and Orev Kablon, where it says that actually, on the contrary, if Levi actually takes the money from Reuven and brings it to Shimon, then it's considered that he went directly to Levi and he has no dealing, and then Reuven can't claim from Shimon at all because he didn't actually lend him directly the money. So Tosfos mentions the point over there that it depends on the Lushan that he uses, whether he uses the Lushan, Tainloi, give him, versus which would be an order of Kablon, versus that regular order would be a Halbeloi, would be lend him money. So Tosfos says you need both, and then Tosfos says you need both. There are other Rishonim who say that you only, that there are other Rishonim who explain that in general, an order of Kablon means only it depends on the wording and not at all on whether he actually took the item and gave it to somebody else and gave it to the loiva. So here, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is going to understand that we're talking about over here a case involving an order of kamla. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying, "Hochav ma'askinen kegoin shenasa orev lenizkei bnoi." The father became an orev for the nizikin of his son. So in other words, he's saying that if my son causes damage, or if he borrows money or whatever, then I'll be an orev and I'll pay it back. So nizkei bnoi ulabal choy bnoi ulksubas kalasei. So he became an orev for the nizikin of his son, and then the son died after causing a nizik ulabal choy bnoi. Or for his son's balchoy, ksubas kalasoi, or for his daughter-in-law's ksuba. So therefore, so in each case, v'haiki dine, v'haiki dine. So each one of them collects from the orev according to the din. Since the son is no longer available to pay. So therefore, we go to the orev, and therefore each one can collect according to the thing, according to idis, beninus, and ziburis, respectively. So not necessarily. So again, so Abaya was pointing out, and the Mishnah was saying, Hanizokin Shaman Lamba Idis, and so forth. And doesn't that imply that Ksubas Isha is always from Ziburis, whereas Mazutra had said that's only the case where you're collecting from Yisoymim? But now we're saying we're not talking about the wife collecting from her husband himself, we're talking about collecting from the Orev. So the difference is, in other words, we would say the difference is. So why do we say Nizokin and Baal Choyv have the same as they had before, whereas the Ksubas Isha changes? Because the difference is Nizokin and Baal Choyv de Mechayim Gavu. The Nizokin and the Baal Choyv, they were able to collect even while the person was alive. So the son had caused Nezek, or the son had borrowed money. That Nezek or that loan would have been payable during his lifetime. So Iunami Kimagbi Kimechayim Magbi. So now, when they're collecting from the Orev, then it's considered that it's the equivalent of collecting while he was alive. Therefore, they get Idis and Beninus respect. Ksubas Isha La'acha Misa Gabia, as opposed to Ksubas Isha, by definition, you're collecting only after the husband dies. La'acha Misa Miman Gabia Miyasmi, and then who are you collecting it now? She's collecting only from Yisoymim, who inherited the property. And now the Yisoymim, therefore, now instead, because so let's say the Yisoymim don't have any property and you're collecting from the Orev, Iunami Kimagbi Kalacha Misamagbi. So all he has to give them is the equivalent of what would be done, Ma'acha Misa, from the Yisoymim, namely Ziburis. So in other words, we're talking about over here. So the case would be that the son got married. And then he died. His Yoshim took over his property. But meanwhile, his father, who was an Orev for the whole thing, then he has to pay. But we don't make him pay with anything more than the Yisoymim would have had to pay, namely Ziburis. But you could say that the Mishnah is talking about that case, and therefore it's not a contradiction on Mazutra. Tosfos, by the way, when Tosfos mentions this matter of a Kablon and discussing what exactly the difference is between a regular Orev and an Orev Kablon. We haven't really gotten to that point yet. So actually, let's wait until we talk about the order of Kabbalah, and then we'll explain that. So the Gemara asks, "But typically, the order of Ksuba lo mishtabed. What do you mean, though? Never mind that. The fact is that an order of a regular loan is on the hook to pay off the loan, because that's what it means. He took on the arevus. So therefore, if the loiva can't pay, then we go to the order. But the order of Ksuba lo mishtabed is not mishubed in the first place." Because the Gemara is going to discuss this point soon. We'll learn it tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that an Orev of Aksuba is not necessarily Mishtabed, because not necessarily do we assume that he actually meant to, not necessarily do we, after all, he's only doing it in order to help the couple get married, and therefore, actually, it actually mentions two points, first of all, he's only an Orev, and even an Orev, a regular Orev, first of all, you can't go after him to begin with. You have to go after the other party. And second of all, in this case, the fact is, a regular Orev, at least the Malvis, spent money on his behalf. He lent out money on his assurance that he will be the Orev. Here, the woman didn't. Therefore, there'd be a reason to say that the Orev is not chayev to actually pay in the end, even if the husband can't pay up. But anyway, so we're talking about over here an Orev Diksuba. So loy mishtabed, he doesn't become mishubad. So even if afterwards the husband or his Yoshim can't pay, we don't go to the Orev. So then how can we explain that the Mishnah is talking about a case involving an Orev? And the answer is b'kablon. We're not just talking about a regular Orev, we're talking about an Orev kablon, where an Orev kablon is stronger than a regular Orev. And again, you have the question, what exactly is an Orev kablon? So Rashi explains over here, in this context, it would mean that the son, when he got married, he gave the wife metalfalin that she can hold on to, where eventually she can collect her suba from that. She in turn gave it to this Orev as kablonus, and then returned them. So the Orev is holding on to them. And then Rashi finishes off. She returned them. She returned them to his son. So what does that mean? If she gave them to the Orev, then how is it being returned to the son? So in fact, a number of Achronim have a bit of a difficulty understanding what Rashi and what Tosfos are saying over here. So anyway, Tosfos explains that it depends on that as well as the Loshon. So the Maharam actually points out that it's very difficult to understand this after he gave her the metalplin, that it becomes hers when she's giving it over to whoever it is. It's considered like a milva. So why should it be any different? Why should it be any different than a regular orev? So the Maharam says that maybe we're talking about that the orev took the money and gave it to the loiva. The loiva himself didn't actually deal with the malva directly. Therefore, that would be considered an orev kablon. And when Rashi says misanat vechziratam levnoi, maybe Rashi doesn't mean that she gave them back to the son, but rather it means that she gave them to the father. Meanwhile, that he should hold on to it, and then she herself took it from the father and gave it to her husband. And then the Pnei Yeshua talks about it and explains that you don't really have to be doichik that much in Tosfos. He says it's actually relatively straightforward to understand what Tosfos is saying. It just means that when the Orev actually takes at the beginning of the Halva, he takes the money from the Malva, so the Malva never actually dealt directly with the Loiva, then he wouldn't be considered even an Orev Kablon. He himself is the Loiva. He, after all, the Ksuba is basically on the husband. He's the one who's required at the time of the Nisuin to write her out of Ksuba. He gave him a Talpan, is not really as a payment, only as a Mashkin. So therefore, even afterwards, he returned the mashkin. Even if afterwards the mashkin ended up being given back to the husband, still he's considered an orev kablon, and he's not considered a loiva because there was no actual loan here in the first place. Anyway, here we're saying in the Gemara, but orev kablon. So we're talking about he was an orev kablon, and therefore that would be a case where he is in fact chayev to pay off the ksuba if the husband himself can't pay it. Well, the Gemara says, "Hanichalam under Omar Kablon afagab de less than nichsel loiva mishtabed." Well, that works according to the opinion in Baba Basra that an Orev Kablon, even when the loiva doesn't have any property at the time, still the Orev Kablon mishtabed, he still takes on that shivud shakir. Well, then it works out well because we're talking about over here the son at the time didn't have nechosim. Because that explains, of course, why the wife is going to the father, to the Orev Kablon, rather than to her own husband, to her own ex-husband or his Yoshin to collect the debt. But you have an opinion over there in the Gemara that only if the loiva at the time had nechosim, only then is the Orev Kablon take even an Orev Kablon. Only then is he taking on the responsibility. But if he doesn't have nechosim, then he doesn't take on that shibud in the first place, because then he doesn't really have this gemiras das, this solid mental idea that he's going to be taking on that responsibility. Well, then my ikal meima. Then what are you going to say in this case? The son has no nechosim, because if he had nechosim, then you're not going to the Orev in the first place. So what's the scenario? Again, if we're trying to explain, again, all of this is to try to explain the Mishnah within Marzutra's opinion that we're saying that when we say that an ksubas isha is only from Ziboris, means when you're collecting from Yisoymin, but otherwise you would collect from Beninus, and here the Mishnah had said that she collects from Beninus, so therefore we're having to say we're talking about an Orev Kablon, but again, according to the opinion in the Gemara in Baba Basra, that even an Orev Kablon is not always having to pay, then what are you going to say, how are you going to teach our Mishnah? And the answer is, one answer you could say that the son did have nechasim at the time when he got married or when he borrowed the money or whatever. And afterwards, those fields were damaged. So now you can collect from the Oriv. The boisema, or another answer, when a father is becoming an Oriv for his son, then he's willing to be Meshabed himself because he loves his son and he wants the best for him, even when the son doesn't have nechasim. So a regular case of an Oriv Tablon would be saying, according to that opinion, if the loiva doesn't have nechasim at the time, then even an Oriv Kablon is not taking on that responsibility. But when it's a father and his son, then that would be different. He is willing to take on that responsibility. And therefore, we could say that the Mishnah is talking about that kind of case. And therefore, it's not a contradiction on Mazutra. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, about this matter of an Oriv of a Ksuba, when he's Meshabed himself and when not. And then we'll continue talking about matters involving our Mishnah and involving collecting from Idis, Beinness, and Ziburis, respect.
Shakaya, have a wonderful day.
Yeah.